Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Stephen Craig, who is one of the partners at Invista, and Sarah Riblon, who runs the product management and development for Invista's transportation solutions service offering and the MyShip Info audit solution. And today we're going to talk about beyond the basics, exploring the value levers of freight audit. Now, freight audit is arguably not one of the sexiest topics in transportation management, but it certainly plays a very critical, important role in helping companies manage their transportation spend and their operations. And really, the first step is really truly understanding the various value levers that freight audit brings to transportation operations. And that's really what we're going to focus on today. And very privileged to have with us both Stephen and Sarah to join us today. They're in the front lines every day of freight audit, working with clients, and on a technology front as well. There's a lot of development going on there, which we're going to talk about today. So anyway, I think it's going to be a great and informative conversation. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Stephen or Sarah as we're going along, you can do so via the Q&A button. And I'll take a look at the questions as they come in, and if it's a good and appropriate question and we've got time, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. In order to ask a question, you do have to be watching this episode via the Google Plus event page. So with that, Stephen and Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. We're looking forward to it and appreciate the opportunity.
Great, Sarah. Welcome to the program. Sarah, you're on mute. Just want to make sure that you stay
there. There we go. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Great. Well, thank you both. And, Stephen, let's just dive right into the topic. Before we kind of get into the various value levers and really talking about the insight component of it, which I think is really an area that there's a lot of development going on, today. Just to kind of provide some, higher level context and perspective, I mean, what are the main, challenges involved with freight audit today, and why is it, and I assume it's so, but why is it more, challenging today than in the past?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is more challenging, and I think a good way, or a way we suggest our clients think about those value drivers and frankly those challenges, is three categories. There, and we can talk about these a little bit further, but the value and the challenges tend to be around assurance, making sure that the bills are right and the numbers are right, which we can get into further, efficiency, and as you mentioned, insight. And it is this last area where we're moving beyond providing reports and helping clients get value from this source of data. And that can mean additional things, and Sarah can talk about some of the functional and technical requirements that come out of that. It can also be different clients or different people in the client company, where it's not just helping the finance folks necessarily work on bill pay, but also the operational and even the business leaders. So the real challenge is, while there are important challenges in the assurance and efficiency sections, the main challenges nowadays really are on the insight. How do we help drive insight into the client organization?
Yes, yeah, so I definitely want to dive into those three areas that you talked about, kind of assurance, efficiency, and especially insight. Just kind of curious. I mean, there's been so much discussion over the past couple of years, and particularly when you look at the transportation management systems market. There's this growing trend because shippers are now the number of modes that they're using. When you look at it used to be they might have only done truckload or LTL. Now they're becoming much more global. So ocean and air are kind of getting mixed into the equation. Certainly with everything going on with e-commerce, a lot of companies that maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago did very little with parcel. Now, parcel is becoming a growing part of their, transportation spend. So do you see that as another contributing factor to what's happening with freight audit today, just the diversity of modes that more and more shippers are dealing with today?
Modes, geographic regions, I mean, some of those e-commerce folks are delivering all over the world. So you get geographies, modes, the pace of business acquisition doesn't slow down. So you often have different companies who maybe are implemented on different tools. There really is an enormous amount of complexity, sort of far beyond what most folks think. It's a big part of it. In terms of those, each of those components, to name a key challenge and business driver in each section, the assurance component is really about making sure that the client's paying the right amount of money. And surprisingly, and I guess ultimately or not surprisingly for those of us in the business, that's not a trivial problem. Rating contracts are far more complex and detailed. Zone skipping changes the origins. As I said, you've got global geographies, and there are pieces even around. even around for those who do bill pay, just something like some of our competitors merge money. Don't separate the client funds. So there's a core component about this business that is essentially making sure that the numbers are right, and there's a lot that goes into that. And I'd say some of the biggest challenges there are just the technical challenges of scale as clients are growing and e-commerce volumes are growing. Around the efficiency part, it's around not only our efficiency, keeping pricing down, because this is a historically low price business, but it's also efficiency kind of interacting with the client and making sure that they're getting, if the finance group is efficiently getting reports to do what they need to do, that those reports tie back to the additional data sources that we're being asked to connect to. So it's efficiency really on the client side that we're helping drive. And on the insight piece, Sarah will get into it further, but we're being asked to connect transportation data with data sets that have never been a part of the equation before. I mean, Sarah hasn't had to quite interact to match data, transportation data with Phase of the Moon, but I'm sure that's coming at some point. But I mean, there's a lot of different data sources that we're connecting that into, or matching that with, and then providing that reporting back on. And then it's a lot more, how to present the data, allow the client to interact with the data, provide quarterly business reports where we're synthesizing that data and going back to them with some insight around comparison of rates or rate opportunities and new ways to think about it, even up to including flows and footprint. So again, each of those three components has sort of different challenges and then different responses that we as a vendor provide.
Yeah, no, a lot of great input there. I mean, I think for a lot of folks, and I got to be honest, I think even myself, I think my initial impression of freight audit was, hey, it's just, are we paying the right amount, right? Are we make sure we're not overpaying, that we're getting the invoices all right, and so forth. And I think as you just described there, not only is that just a relatively small component of what freight audit entails, the scope is also growing, particularly with what I would consider kind of the role of business intelligence and analytics, right? That's playing into this whole insight piece around freight audit. So Sarah, now to bring you into the conversation, I want to kind of explore that a little bit more, right? Because BI analytics, it's getting a lot of discussion, today, and it's obviously playing a role here in freight audit. So, how is it? How is BI analytics technology helping companies achieve greater insight into their transportation, spend and operations? And what are some of the important capabilities that companies should look for?
Yeah, business BI technology has really advanced in the last few years and has really paved the way for companies like us to bring big data analytics to the hands of shippers. The analytics that a freight audit company can provide are pretty unique because we receive shipment data from across all modes. And, some of the systems at the client site are so segregated that to bring all of that data together is, sometimes an insurmountable task. So, and then on top of that, what Stephen alluded to a little was, we can really connect data from all sources, shipment data, purchase order data, inventory warehousing information, and really start to, collect that information and provide that back to the clients in such a way that they can manipulate it and really get, a true picture of where their money is going and what their shipment network looks like and where they should spend their time, you know, reviewing that data. It's always interesting when we engage with a client and we ask, what's your annual total spend for last year? And sometimes we get an answer, and most of the time we don't. And if we dive deeper and say, well, what was it for ocean, or what was it for air? And sometimes they say, oh, yeah, I could give you the ocean number, but I don't know. You know, small package is not my department. That's direct to consumer, and I just deal with you know, the sourcing side of it. So, you know, when we collect all of that data in the form of invoices or this ancillary information, we can really, you know, provide the shippers with that key information, key performance indicators that they can really drive business decisions off of. I think as far as some of the capabilities that are most important when you're putting out, you know, dashboards or reports like this, are the ability to not only recognize a trend or an outlier, but the ability to drill down into it, to really get to, you know, the data behind that and see, well, what's driving this trend and how can I change an aspect of my business or negotiate with a carrier to drive this spend down. You know, back in 2009, we released our first generation dashboards, and we really at that time recognized the need for this all-mode visibility. And since then, with the technology advances of business intelligence tools and also our ability to collect data from all of these different resources, you know, we've realized that shippers really need that ability to drill down. They need it fast. They need to see a bird's eye view or view of a specific region or a specific mode, or, you know, really try to filter the data how they need it. But they don't want to spend a lot of time. You know, everyone's busy. So they really need this at their fingertips. And I think that business intelligence technology has really helped, you know, bring that to light. And, you know, we've been working with our clients over the last couple of years and really getting to the bottom of what they want to see. I'm pleased to announce that we're releasing our next generation of dashboards on this coming Monday, and it does exactly that. You know, it allows you to do the drill down. It allows you to filter. You can export the graph and walk into a meeting and say, hey, here's what I'm seeing. Here's the data behind it. So here's why I'm seeing this. Now let's spend our time during this meeting working on how to fix it or working how to drive that spend down instead of working through the analytics and getting to what we need to talk about during this meeting.
Yeah, that's a lot of great you know, input there and insight. I mean, you alluded to something earlier that I want to kind of dive in a little bit. I mean, it seems that you know, part of the challenge, and I want to talk a little bit about the technology as well, but it seems like part of the challenge, I mean, you know, Stephen talked about, you know, it's not only multiple modes, but multiple geography. You know, you talked about, you know, some people may know how much they spend on ocean or how much they spend on truckload because maybe they directly control that, but maybe they've got a 3PL or somebody else is controlling another part of their freight. So trying to bring that all together, you know, seems to be a challenge. Is that part of the challenge, you know, in terms of just trying to aggregate or tap into the different sources of data? So Sarah, I'll ask you, and Stephen, if you want to, you know, add anything to that, you know, certainly be happy to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of the problem is just getting the data. You know, not every carrier is electronically privy, you know, savvy. So some Aunt Mabel still writes out some, you know, invoice BOLs and invoice information. So, you know, to collect all that data is definitely half the battle. But then just knowing what to do with that data once you have it. You know, we've got many, many, you know, thousands of shippers that use our tool. So we've been able to connect with them and find out what's important to them. You know, what are those business driving decisions and what are the lacking analytics behind that, and then really get that to them at rapid pace.
Anything to add to that, Stephen?
Short answer is, you know, she was absolutely right with the first word, absolutely. It is about aggregating that data. And one of the things that, one of the values that occurs in this audit space is that it's, in many cases, the fastest path to cash, and, you know, the fastest path to value. You know, where, let's say you've got, particularly in a global situation, you know, to aggregate and get multiple business units, you know, working in multiple continents on the same, you know, execution transportation tools may take years, certainly months, years, and you've heard me joke, I like to say it's kind of like I guess it's not the Hobbit, it's the One Ring to rule them all. It often doesn't work, or it takes a long time to get to. Whereas you can aggregate the spend data from the back end and work forward much more quickly. It's not easy because you've got different rating structures all over the world that need to be synthesized to try to give a client a view that makes sense to them. But aggregating this data from the back end forward is often the fastest path to insight and therefore the fastest path to cash. And it is one of the real the real value creators that we drive. But as I said, it's not just the here's a picture of the spend. As Sarah said, the next step is how do we work. For example, she mentioned we've been working with key clients on some of these dashboards. Different folks have different alerts they want to get, and what could be what's important to the an outbound manager in Asia may be different than an outbound manager in the U.S. Different from an inbound, different from the CFO. So there's a question of how does that get set up for a particular user, as well as how their company-wide decisions around geocoding, cost allocations, things like that. So, and they end up being sort of non-trivial problems, I joke, because you start misallocating or not allocating a cost bucket and peanut buttering that over different product groups, you can end up with some very different and misunderstandings of profitability by product group. So there is a lot of value from collecting that information, collecting it quickly across the modes and geographies, and then making it available at a corporate level as well as an individual level within folks around the company needing to see the pieces they need to see.
Great points. Sarah, to go back to you, I mean, just to build off something Stephen, mentioned, I guess a two-part question. One, I would think that one of the important attributes from a technology standpoint is this configurability, to allow different users to access the type of information that's important to them, right? So what's important to a transportation executive might be different than maybe the senior VP of supply chain might be interested in. It might be different than a view that you might want to present to the CFO, right? So I think from a technology standpoint, certainly we're seeing that a lot, today overall in the software industry is the configurability of the solutions and provide different views based on the specific role and interests of that individual. So that's question number one. And question number two, there's potentially so many different metrics that companies can track. I mean, which ones do you see are the most common or the most important that most of your clients tend to use? And are there any that you feel that a lot of companies are really not tracking, but that they really should?
Yes, I think it's important to note that there are different users, and even for the same data set, like you said, different regions or different titles within a company would want to see different things. And so I think the ability to filter your data set for exactly what you're looking for, if you're a C-level executive and you want to see the whole bird's eye view, you should be able to do that in the same way that someone at, your Singapore office should be able to see just the Singapore, transportation spend, and then they can really begin to manage the piece of the business that they really manage. So I think the ability to filter your dashboards or reports in such a way, is definitely important. I think the two most important metrics that come to mind are definitely spend that we've been talking about and service. You really should be able to see where you're spending your money, which carriers, compare carriers for the same mode or compare, carriers across all modes. And not only that, but weeks of the year or year over year and comparison like that is really important. If you see your sales are increasing and your spend is increasing at a higher rate, there might be something off there. And then as far as what shippers may not be looking at, I think the key here is to understand how these metrics interrelate with each other. And so, if, like I just mentioned with the sales orders and the shipping spend, if you're looking at two charts side by side and you can see, okay, I spend, you know, most of my money with carrier A, and they're performing the least, the worst for me. You know, there's a disconnect there, and really you should be using the carriers that are performing better for you and will service your customers, you know, better in a higher volume. And that way, you know, you can really begin to drill into your data and discover ways that you can manage your shipment better, shipping trends better.
Yeah, great point there. I think the last point you brought out, I think, is kind of leads me to my next question. I mean, I think one of the important things, and you kind of talked about a little bit, is, you know, it's one thing to just kind of get the big picture, the initial picture, but the ability to drill down, right, and get some more detail, some more insight into what's happening, whether it's from a service standpoint or a cost standpoint, or you're comparing different, you know, metrics or different trends together, I think it is a critical piece of not only the technology, but of the capabilities that you would want, you know, to be able to drive continuous improvement. So, Stephen, that's my next question, right? It's, you know, it's one thing to kind of have the data, the information, the insight. The question that always comes up is, well, then how do you, you know, what do you actually do with it, right? So can you share some examples of, you know, how companies are, you know, leveraging the insight that they're getting from these tools to, you know, to drive, you know, continuous improvement and realize, you know, some business benefits?
I don't think in 20 plus years I've ever had a CFO let us put, you know, supply chain visibility, you know, with just a number on a business case, not one time. They always basically say, you know, the visibility is great, but somebody has to do something different with the, you know, with the information for it to drive a value. So unless, you know, so you can't just take the visibility and say, you know, that's worth X million dollars. You know, I'd love that to be the case, but, you know, again, that hasn't been in the business case. Though I jokingly, I mean, I sometimes say it's the hard dollar numbers have to go into the business case, but it's those visibility related numbers or savings that in fact drive the promotions, not the business case. But just to give a couple of examples, and I'll stick with sort of an inbound, interfacility, outbound kind of approach. On the inbound side, you know, we've had situations where and I'll two different examples, one on an internet retailer. These are mainly retail. We've had certainly some great examples in manufacturing. But an internet retailer went in with and started looking at inbound data and realized that the some of the costs for the expedited moves hadn't necessarily gone against a particular buyer before or a particular product group. Might have been segmented off to just, you know, to just expedite it. And so you end up seeing the cost allocated by a product group to know what the cost of goods sold are, but that expedited might have been over in a separate bucket. And when you really allocated those costs against the product group and even to a particular buyer, what was discovered by a particular client was that there was a different picture of profitability by product group, or at least cost by product group, excuse me, and by buyers, so that the buyer who had kind of historically been considered the top person was actually driving an awful lot of that, a disproportionate amount of that expedited cost, and because of that really wasn't the most profitable buyer, which gets into deeply political questions around companies, you know, where merchants are driving the business. And so, you know, that's not an uncommon thing where a bucket of spend is not fully allocated because somebody's taking a modal approach and just saying expedited rather than allocating that back against, again, product groups or buyers. And, you know, again, most of the time, you know, never had the ability to connect the transportation spend, you know, at a PO level with a buyer code, right? So that's an example, and a real world one that happened just not too long ago. Another example, again, for similar kind of reason, on an interfacility basis, where, you know, a client has a lot of say LTL spend that is inbound or outbound generated, and so there's a fairly small component of that LTL spend is interfacility, in this case interstore or store to store, and so it ends up being, if somebody's modally managing spend or modally looking at spend, it's a small percentage of LTL. Well, when you take that interfacility or store to store spend and, you know, connect it, link it with the inventory information, all of a sudden, that particular retailer, after a very short period of time seeing that information, drove that to merchant, inventory planners. And it was like, wait a second, these are indications by, at a SKU level, or certainly at a product group level, of misallocation of inventory, misallocation of inventory. And, we weren't the ones who were driving that connection back inside the company, so the CFO, unfortunately, is right. Somebody had to go do something with that data, but that opportunity was there once you took the, kind of these massive order data sets and these massive, parcel and LTL data sets and married them up in a way and then, exposed the right piece of information. And in that case, the retailer was pretty quickly able to start getting that information in front of the inventory folks. On the outbound side, we've had a few different good examples. In an industrial type of situation, certainly information about what's happening as clients are pushing and pulling orders forward and back, and what the cost is. So how many? What's the cost by change? Again, going to a salesperson. But another one, fairly simplistic but effective, was again, I'll use a retail and somewhat internet or e-commerce focused. It's not uncommon for, like you said, use a 3PL and have that 3PL in an area maybe managing West Coast parcel spend for e-commerce outbound, and not really be connecting that data set with a different parcel data set when negotiating those contracts, because it's been handled by a third party, possibly even under a separate contract. And so being able to take data that the sourcing person within a company maybe has never seen that data because it's not sitting in their SAP system, it's somewhere else, and aggregating that for a sourcing spend. And that's certainly the case when you start looking, it's very difficult right now to negotiate a global deal on the parcel guy, so I wouldn't want to pretend that's easy. But for some companies, it's starting. So, there's an inbound, outbound, and interfacility question where, it was really about connecting the carrier data, the invoice data, with data sets inside the company, and then having the right partners inside the company to drive a change based on that visibility.
Yeah, a lot of great examples there. I think it just, again, underscores, something that we've talked about in this program for many years is that, sometimes the easiest question is the most difficult to answer, right? So how much are we spending on transportation? Are we actually profitable, on this product? So on and so forth. I think, the reality is that, either companies have had a difficult time in the past capturing the necessary cost data, or being able to, link the pieces together to provide that, provide that big picture. So I think the examples you gave kind of, illustrate, some of the opportunities there that's possible, that I think is common for a lot of companies out there, where they're leaving those opportunities on the table today. We're kind of running short on time here, so I just want to remind those of you that are watching us live that if you do have a question for Stephen or Sarah, now would be the time to ask it. Stephen, just to stick with you for a second there, I think it was probably a year or two ago, I had some of your colleagues there at Envista on the program, and we kind of talked about how freight audit and payment wasn't dead, that it was actually alive and kicking. And in fact, it's it's a business process that many companies still rely on third-party providers such as yourselves to assist them with. Why is that? Why is third parties still valuable partners for many companies in this area, and what attributes should companies look for in a partner?
Well, short answer is it's growing, not shrinking. So it's a little surprising, but when you get into the details of it, it's not surprising, and a couple of the reasons are it's hard to do. It's a lot harder to do and do correctly than most folks think. I mean, there's a kind of a common myth that you might only get one invoice per load, for example, when ultimately there are multiples and you have to track changes and balance dues. But some simple things like most people aren't spending a lot of time doing 2-10 integration with carriers, right? So when you start trying to do that, you start realizing that, you know, no carrier's data set is exactly the same, and you're having to, and it's you know, sometimes difficult to work with. And mind you, the carriers, of all the data sets that carriers want to send you and want to automate, their invoice to you is way up on their list. So they're willing to work with you. But it's, you know, if you're an accounts payable person, you know, and you're working with hundreds and hundreds of non-carrier suppliers who are sending fairly straightforward invoices, and then you've got the detail and the complexity of transportation ones, it's not what you do. Right? So integrating with the carriers electronically is hard for most companies to do. And we take over that obligation. And if you don't integrate with the carriers, you end up inundated with paper. And even if you do integrate with the carriers, you're going to get some paper. And you either have to decide that you're going to sit and key punch that paper, or you decide to exclude that data set from what you're looking at, and all of a sudden you start creating gaps in your data set. And so, we end up with we have a Hyderabad, a totally owned, not contracted, an Invista office in India that, takes on that data capture and data quality obligation. Again, that's the sort of thing most companies don't have. So getting the data electronically is hard, and if you don't get the electronic data, you get it in paper, and that's hard. So getting the source data is difficult. And then again, the rating complexity across regions and globes and modes, is difficult. And so that ends up being a piece that, is hard for most companies to do. And when you look at it, the freight audit companies do that at such scale that the costs come down. And most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, a freight audit company can do it faster and cheaper than the companies can do it themselves. So, you and I talked, and I joke that typically freight audit is phase three of almost every company's implementation plan, and most never get past phase two because the value starts declining. So it typically is the kind of thing that companies, are economically better off to do, to outsource, and then import the actuals. So after you run through the audit process, you can import, the actuals cost into whatever planning or execution technologies they've got, with some lag to accommodate the time that it takes to work with the carriers to deal with the exceptions. So a lot of it's really just speed to value, as I mentioned earlier, and cost.
Yeah, no, great points there. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I think the episode that I referenced earlier, it was, myself, and I know a number of the analysts in the analyst community have predicted that, as more TMS vendors were, releasing, freight on a payment modules, that, more companies would take it in-house. But I think for the reasons you cited and many more, you continue to see, working with third parties as being a key, the preferred route that many companies can continue to take, because you're right. I mean, I think for many companies that is kind of the phase three, right? Phase one is just to kind of do the tendering and the execution. Phase two, which a lot of companies don't get to themselves, is just optimization. And then phase three is freight audit and payment, and they never get there for the reasons you cited. Did you want to add to that, Stephen?
Excuse me, I do. Because, I don't think that it's easy to think that the solutions are competitive, but in the real world they're not, because again, we work with a lot of companies who have multiple transportation planning and execution tools, 2, 3, 4 sometimes, and a good solution is even if they've only got one, is basically connecting the two so that you're running through that audit and assurance efficiency process, but are driving that information back into the environment that the different people work with. So, the audit tool might be the right tool for the finance folks to be looking at, but the actual information can be going back into an inbound tool, an outbound tool, an international trade management tool, so that the operational users are getting the actual information, audited actuals, back into their tools. So it's not as competitive a tool set as a lot of people think. It's really somewhat of a complementary. It's frankly the more efficient way to get the audited actuals back into those planning tools.
Great point. You know, we're kind of out of time here, so I want to bring Sarah, you know, back into the conversation. And, you know, Sarah, as kind of a way to wrap up, and Steve, and you can certainly, you know, provide your thoughts as well. You know, as a way to wrap up, I mean, what questions should companies ask to assess whether, you know, they're going beyond the basics, if you will, when it comes to getting the most value, you know, from freight audit?
Yeah, so going back to something I mentioned earlier, I think the first question they should ask is, what is my total spend from last year? How quickly can I get that information? You know, am I even monitoring that? Other than quarterly, you know, accounting, you know, balance sheets and such, you know, and what is my spend this year, year to date, and how is that trending according to against last year, you know? And, you know, if it's not just at your fingertips, how can I go get that information, and what's the quickest and most easy way to do that and to hook it up? And usually, like Stephen alluded to, that is going to be a third party. You know, everyone's busy, and we know we want to monitor metrics, but we just don't always have the time. And really, it's an important piece of anyone's business.
You know, I would think also another question would be, you know, as we just talked about technology, right? I mean, do you have the technology, right? You know, you talked about kind of the new solution you're going to be, you know, releasing next week. I mean, how are you, you know, displaying and communicating and sharing that information internally? And do you have the tools, you know, to effectively do that? I would assume you would agree with that. So again, from a technology related standpoint, is asking, do you have the technology, right?
Yeah, and do I want to invest in it? You know, these BI tools are not always cheap, and they take people to get that data into it and get the data out of it. And, you know, it's not always economical for a shipper to invest in that as a whole. And so, you know, when an audit company invests in it and then provides that to the shipper, sometimes it can mitigate that cost as well.
So, Stephen, your thoughts?
Yeah, the a couple of different things. First, I think that Sarah started, I mean, nailed it on the head initially. It's about where, you know, not to be too much of a consultant, but it's about where's the money, making sure that you know about those cash, all in a number of different ways. I mean, our quarterly business reviews, our periodic business reviews deal with what we call a spend diagram, where we encourage ways of thinking about how to segment the cost. And those are not uniform. We really do try to understand kind of what's right for each client. Even within the same industry, you know, retailers have different strategies, different business strategies, but certainly different distribution strategies. And because of those distribution strategies, different numbers and may be important to them. So I think the most important thing is to start kind of a conversation and with our teams around what do clients think they need, and then we start working with, you know, what else might help. But most of the time, they come in with a pretty strong understanding of what decisions they think they can make if they have the right data sources, and that's a really good place to start. It's around what things can we do, because ultimately, you know, we're not experts on their business until we've worked with them for a while, certainly not in the first few minutes of meeting them. But if they can start with kind of what, given their distribution flows and their movements, where they think the value is, we can then help them find out if that's true, and then and engage in a conversation about other things to think about. So, you know, I'd say the you know, it is about to move beyond the basics are that spend data, that efficiency data, doing this inexpensively, and the beyond the basics really come into those insight questions, which are, you know, where do I think I've got opportunities to spend to save money, and what, you know, what's that hypothesis, and then what data do I need to go prove or disprove that hypothesis. And as we gauge that conversation, it's what other hypotheses are, you know, are testable. But and I'd also like to say that you know, we appreciate the opportunity to make our U.S. Global and perhaps intergalactic notification of this new dashboard on Talking Logistics. We certainly enjoy you know, your content, the content of the service over the years, and you know, so wanted to make this intergalactic notification or the announcement, a press release about our new functionality with you.
Well, great. Thank you, Stephen. And again, I think, you know, what I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface of these topics. But I think both you and Sarah, you know, provided some great food for thought, some great advice, and hopefully some takeaways and some action items that, you know, the companies can, you know, start thinking about, you know, moving beyond the basics and particularly thinking about the insight piece in terms of how that could provide them with, you know, with value. So again, Steve and Sarah, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this on demand and you've got a question for Steven or Sarah, you can post a question there. You can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com. Post it there, and I'm sure Sarah and Steve will be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.